you so much for that this morning. I also forgot to mention, if this is your first time here, there is a little blue card somewhere in one of the seats in front of you. If you complete that, we will be able to stay in touch with you, send information about the church, and also we'll be able to make one of these handy-dandy name tags. So you'll want one of these. You'll join me now in a moment of prayer. Spirit of grace and extravagant love, grant us the wisdom to find the truth in ourselves and in others, and the courage to call it out, to live it out. Help us to see the shadow that we cast through the life that we live, and help us to make peace with ourselves. Give us clearer vision of what we are worshiping by our actions, and grant us an awareness of your presence and your power moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. One of the things that I like about our faith tradition are the distinct times and seasons for certain spiritual disciplines and meaningful moments of reflection and growth. This is the last Sunday of Lent, a time when we reflect on wilderness journeys and our path forward, our mission on earth, and reaching for our better self. Many people fast or give up something, yet so often the things many seek to give up may be things that our souls will never miss. For me, I usually ponder giving up the things that I can do without, but that are very, very hard to let go of. Worry, anger, resentment. And this Sunday, I wanted to look at something new, at giving up, letting go, or eliminating some of the negative influences in our lives. Yes, trolls and hypocrites. Now, when I was a kid, I had a lot of strange ideas about a lot of things. We would move to a new church, and when Dad would come home after a board meeting or after choir practice, I would hear him tell my mom with a sigh that the church has hypocrites.
The church is hypocrites.
Now, somehow I had the idea that hypocrites were a bug. Something like, you're right, you're exactly right, they are a bug. Now, something like a cross between a cricket, maybe, and a roach. I didn't know, but so one Sunday I was crawling beneath the pews, and Mom asked me, what are you doing? And I proudly announced, perhaps too loudly, that I was looking for hypocrites.
You still are.
Still am. Where are the hypocrites, Mom? Now, I could tell by her face that she was mortified. She simply looked at me and goes, "We don't talk about that." So for a long time, I still thought they were like bugs. But like in the good Southern tradition with roaches, when you're visiting a friend's house, you don't call them out when you see them. Now, I have come a long way, and I am a long way from crawling beneath the pews, but something in that adage still holds true. We often don't talk about hypocrites or hypocritical behavior. And even though the world and our news cycle seems to be full of them, especially the internet, we generally never call them out when we see them. Now, hypocrite comes from the Greek word actor, and it means someone acting a role, not being authentic, not being real, saying one thing but meaning another, or behaving in a way opposite of their words, or doing something with one justification, a justification that sounds very high and mighty, morally unquestionable, while clearly there is another motivation behind their actions, one that is more selfish and self-serving. They are pretenders. They are actors, and they can consume a lot of energy. One thing Jesus criticizes more than anything else are hypocrites. He doesn't take issue with sinners nearly so much as those who pretend that they aren't. Those who try and claim to make their deeds and their aims seem so much more lofty than what they are. Now, in those moments, the person is exposing their shadow self, the parts of themselves that they don't want to admit to having. The thing is, most of the time, we can see right through them. We can see their shadows, and that sometimes may drive us nuts. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, today's pericope is oh so beautiful and so jam-packed with so many things. One of my biggest weaknesses in life is maintaining focus. Heather will testify to this, especially when so many things excite me. Now, first we have Jesus at a meal. No big surprise there. So many stories in the Bible involve meals. It has been said that Jesus eats his way through the Gospels. A lot of truth in that. Amen. Then we have Jesus in Bethany. Now, that's a complicated place in its own right. Then we have formerly dead guy at the table. Lazarus. Okay, whom Jesus raised after being 4 days dead and buried, wrapped and entombed. It's like Weekend at Bernie's, only he's alive. And he goes on living. And then we have Mary and Martha, each doing things. Martha is doing the food and the housework thing, and Mary, once again, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, as she was in other Gospels, as a student and as a disciple. And while in other Gospels we hear the sibling rivalry and the conflict between them, where Martha tells Jesus to make Mary help her with the housework, here they seem to have resolved that issue, with both of them serving, yet in very different ways, with no judgment placed on either. That's a big deal. And then we have the nard, the spike nard. It is a beautiful fragrance. I used spikenard oil in the imposition of ashes during our first Sunday in Lent. I occasionally use the oil on my hair, and I often wear a fragrance containing it. So when I read the words, "the house was full of the scent of the ointment," I can literally close my eyes and smell it, and smell the beautiful scent. Now, smells are so powerful, and they can stir such memories in us. The scent of a cinder block basement, a hot dog on a grill on a warm summer day, freshly baked bread. Rudyard Kipling wrote, "Smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack." Smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack. I still tear up at the scene in Brokeback Mountain when Jack grabs Enos's shirt that he had kept in his closet and holds it close to his face and breathes in the scent of his beloved who was murdered. So that line, "the house is filled with the scent," it calls to me. And then Mary's gesture, the loving gesture, love overflowing and pouring out over the feet of the one who lived love, the one who embodied love, the one who enfleshed love. The extravagant, abundant gift of anointing the feet of Jesus and then wiping them with her hair. Here is Jesus, the Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed one. Being anointed by a woman. Wow, that's another big deal. I had to wrestle with a lot. But I will tell you this much, out of everything, what got me more than anything else this year was Judas. Now, perhaps that's a sign of the times. I don't know. But I could not escape the thought, the persistent whisper of the Spirit in my heart that Judas was trolling Jesus. Trolling Jesus as clearly as people troll each other on Twitter. just in the same way. Hey, that's a lot of money right there. We could have bought so much food for the poor, fed so many people. Why wasn't that money given to the poor? But instead, you spent it on hair care products. Well, Judas has a point right there, doesn't he? Like many trolls, he speaks with an element of truth. A point that is quite compelling and one that's difficult to disagree with. In fact, you really can't disagree with it, can you? And the whole thing just makes your head hurt. Now, I was actually in a meeting where we were discussing church upkeep. And someone suggested doing something a bit extravagant to improve the church. And the improvement was quite expensive, a big dollar item. And someone said, well, why don't we just give all that money to the poor? My mouth hung open. I was literally speechless, questioning doing something for the church, the body of Christ, versus giving that money to the poor. And the person who said that had absolutely no idea how biblical they were being and just how much they were speaking with the same spirit as the voice of Judas. I did not point that out to them. Jesus responds, let her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her be. You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me. Now, there is a passage in Deuteronomy. Some think that Jesus was referencing it. Chapter 15, verse 11. There will always be poor people in the land. That Jesus was saying, there will always be poor people here, but you will not always have what is right in front of you. You will not always have what is right in front of you. Lutheran minister Regan Humber puts it another way, that the thing that won't always be with us is the opportunity to see God in whatever or whomever is right in front of us right now. The dominion of God is here, and it is here and now. And right now is the moment. Right now is the moment that God can crack our heartstrings. The abundant love of God is the grace of now. Jesus saw through Judas. He saw through to the shadow of Judas, as probably everyone else did in that wonderfully fragrant home in Bethany. Everyone except Judas. It takes work to see your shadow. It takes a lot of work. A lot of work to see the parts of you that you want to deny in yourself and decry in others. Parts that everyone else seems to know about you, but you. It's hard to see the shadow cast behind you by the things about you that you are afraid to admit and sometimes ashamed to admit. It's hard to face your shadow. What you have to do is turn around. You have to repent. The Greek word used for repent means turn around. Could it be any more plain? Turn around, a U-turn. 180 degrees is what it means, a U-turn to see you. A U-turn to see you fully, to meet and admit your sin. The literal meaning of which in the Bible is missing the mark. Failing to live up to your higher self, your best self. All too often, we in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and questioning communities have been told what sin is. The definition that we have been told is not what it is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is not living up to your best self. And living up to your best self is your authentic self. It is the self that is worthy of the trust of others. And the thing that often prevents us sometimes from being in right relationship with the rest of the world. The more we know ourselves, the more we are able to exist with peace with ourselves and with others. our very nature goes through the refining fire of self-struggle. And it is in that illumination that we can finally face ourselves honestly, fully and completely, and without shame. The world and the internet is filled with hypocrites, people who provoke, who gain joy from provoking, burning up other people's energy, people whose words belie their actions and their motivations, who take up your time. Now, you may see right through them and see through them to their shadow, but don't play their game. They will take your energy, and they will suck the joy right out of all of the beautiful moments that are right before you, right before your eyes, right in front of you. Call out hypocrites, actors, and fake people, people being untrue. But also, while you may call them out, know that it is not up to you to fix them. That's a hard lesson to learn. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is hard because we want to fix them. We want to attack them. We want to show them how they're wrong. You can't do that because I will tell you, you have a shadow as well. Let them teach you that. Let them teach you that you have a shadow. Learn this from them. Learn a lesson from everyone you encounter, and learn this from those who are hypocritical, that we all have a shadow self and that we are all sinners. And that we almost always easier see in others the very faults and weaknesses that we ourselves possess. It's easy to see it in others, especially those things within us that may cause us shame. How many times do we sometimes hear of ministers in a conservative tradition who take issues with homosexuality, who they themselves have not admitted their authentic self to themselves? Those things within us that are hard to look at, those are the ones that we most often protect and project in other people. Why worry and look at the splinter in your sibling's eye when you have a log in your own? Matthew 7, verse 3. Take time to clear your own vision before you even attempt to clear the vision of your sibling. Call out hypocrites, actors, fake people, people being untrue, people whose shadow is as big as their own ego. Resist being drawn into their drama. And most of all, don't let them stop you from living your life. Breathe in the sweet smell of love, the fragrance of life. The image of the divine that sits right before your eyes, that's present with you now. And tell the trolls and hypocrites to leave you alone. May it be so.